Hello
and oh,
Duncan.
Sorry.
Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. Duncan, put that down. Just honestly, what has got into you this week?
Put that
coming
podcast
up
down.
On this week's show. I'm warning you. I will turn this pod around, Duncan. Amazon preps a Kindle Fire 2. Have we even got the first one? God Killing, Assassin's Creed 3 has lots of it. Sony slumps to its biggest loss in 32 years.
Hey,
and what's all this about Steve Jobs and the iCar? Plus, Euro 2012. Apparently, England are in it. Sorry, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. We'll have a look at the best apps to see you through. Ree's very excited. All that and more with my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who's never well behaved. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello.
Dan, it's lovely to hear you.
Ah, I'm back.
You've turned up then.
Yeah.
I see. A lot of people have been saying that they prefer it when you're not here, but that's not for me to say. Personally, I prefer it when you are here, but a lot of people have said that. But
well, there's no account of your taste.
No, exactly. That's what I tell them. I mean, I say, you know, yeah, you might very well think that I'm a much better host than Dan, but, you know, I don't want to hear that kind of thing.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
No.
What has been eating you up all week anyway, Duncan, apart from your ego growing beyond its usual size?
Well, it's about eating me up, but I've certainly been eating up.
Where's this going?
Some delicious food. Me and Ree went to the Sony Awards. We were tweeting vigorously from Sony
Radio
Awards.
Yeah, where were we in the nominations? What happened there?
Well, nowhere. We thought that we'd been, you know, invited, and it was going to be like a surprise honorable mention.
And the podcast of the year, none of the ones that have been nominated, is actually T3.
Mm. Well, also, they have this awards, I discovered, they get right to the end, and it's like, well, that's all the awards, but now it's the gold awards. Yeah. Well, they're all gold awards, so maybe that should be the platinum
they do
awards.
Do bronze, silver, and gold.
Yeah,
they
give out any number of gold awards, and then they get right to the end, and it's like, now it's time for the gold award. And I was like, well, you've given out about 20 gold. They do a lot of awards. In fact, it's about 57 gold awards by this point. But it was like there was no nominations. It wasn't on the thing. So it was like, oh, this is it. This is
the moment.
This is it.
It's like, you know, there's been one podcast.
Were you putting on your
listen to by several thousand
prepping
people.
Your face for when the camera came to you?
Duncan had a gold jacket on. You were ready for it.
We were prepping our faces as best we could after, considering we were off our faces on vast quantities of
champagne already.
Champagne and red wine.
Who won the podcast one? Did you make it?
It was The Guardian.
Guardian.
Yeah.
I know. It was all very worthy.
Sorry,
kind of
I mean, well done. Well done to them.
Yeah, well done, you bastards.
Well done. It was all very, very long.
But I'll tell you what, that's how to do an awards ceremony. It was very long, but it didn't feel that long.
Chris Evans was a great compare.
The Sony Awards, they're a bit normally they're very prestigious awards for radio and podcasts.
So many
and stuff
celebs
like that.
There.
Yeah, there are lots of people really care about them within the industry. How to say outside the industry, not so much. But this year it was those two was it from Radio
Betty
Northumberland
and
the old biddies.
The two old geezers. They won a gold award. They've been all over the place.
Yeah, that was PR gold, that was.
Yeah.
I don't know about gold awards.
It's the first time I've ever known anyone take that much interest in the Sony.
They were in the Metro, third page of the Metro, everywhere.
Well, I think if we'd won Podcast of the Year, we'd have got a similar sort of thing.
I imagine, the PR machine would just be in overload.
But Chris Evans was a great compere.
Chris
really
Evans
good.
Was always quite good,
He was actually telling people to shh, because everyone was getting really drunk.
Oh,
he was like, shh,
oh, dear.
Listen.
People getting drunk at awards ceremonies.
They had
whatever
entertainment.
Next.
Yeah.
They had Jessie J, who's terrible.
Really?
No idea.
Gary
she was
Barlow
so bad.
Was there.
She's one of those, she sings, like she does this song about not being about money, and she's like, oh, not about money, but then she gets to the middle, and she starts singing like, it's not, I said,
she does do a lot of like,
oh, are you having a stroke? Are you all right?
And it's like, what are you doing? It's like, just sing the song.
Just sing, or even better, don't sing, off.
Oh, no. Gary Barlow was there. He was good.
That's our Sony Award for next year down the drain.
Speaking of which, and then on the way home, the last time I went to an awards ceremony was the T3 Awards, and I sprained my wrist attempting to Boris bike home.
And what happened this time?
This time I had an argument, a stand-up row with a Buckingham Palace security guard.
Oh my God.
Because they was
someone from Special Branch just around the corner, kind of with his finger lightly on the trigger.
they've closed off the Mall, which is where not the Mall, what's it called, Constitution Hill or something. And that's how I cycle home, because I go across Westminster Bridge. And it was suddenly all closed off, which I knew nothing about. And there's this guy like, wave, you can't go down there, mate. And I got very... well, it started off, I was genuinely aggrieved, and then it turned into, how can I wind up this security guard?
Right, right, that was good.
To the nth degree.
Went into a sterile
zone. Anyway, just before we...
Yeah, you used the phrase sterile zone.
Interesting. You're sort of implying you're sort of diseased or something.
Yeah, I did get that impression. Yeah, he didn't seem particularly pleased to see me.
No.
I mean,
no.
You think the security guard, you know, they don't really get to see anybody all night. You think,
have a nice chat.
Friendly chat, like myself.
Yeah, a bit of banter.
Dressed in tux.
Brilliant.
He was going, are you some sort of civil servant or something?
No, I am James Bond.
I was like, I'm the head of Metropolitan Police, so get out of the way. No, I didn't say that.
No, that would have been that would have been impersonating a police officer and illegal.
He said, well, I can call the old Bill. I was like, well, I can call the old Bill. Oh, it was that kind of
one
conversation.
One of those. That's not good. Call them. Call them right now. I'd like to see what they have to say about this matter. Yeah, that's never a good argument. Anyway, before we get on to the top story, do you ever have one of those quandaries? You just can't seem to decide.
Part of me wants to fight and repel all outsiders. The other part of me is the outsider. In the name of liberty, I will fight the enemy. Regardless of their allegiance.
Regardless of their allegiance.
Do you like to repel outsiders, Dan? Do you find you repel outsiders?
I am the outsider.
In the same sense repelling her. So, there we are. I in fact do.
I am repelled.
you are physically repelled. Yes, that was the trailer for Assassin's Creed 3, which has come out this week, showing some actual gameplay and then the new game engine. And it actually looks pretty funky.
Oh, we're talking about games this week, are we?
No. This is just very briefly.
Touching on this.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It shows him, like, climbing trees and scaling buildings.
Yeah.
It is very, very good. And it's basically, what it's showing off is the fact that, normally in a game, you sort of, when it wants you to climb a building, it sticks a ladder there. And when it wants you to go through a door, the door opens. Yeah. Otherwise, it's locked and all that, and it gets a bit annoying. But this, it's kind of,
you can go
where you want to go.
It's like a sandbox.
Climb where you want to climb. It is
I do like Assassin's Creed because it combines two of my favourite hobbies, which is free running, because I do a lot of free running, as you know, and murder.
Ah, well, so on that
the
point.
The two cornerstones of a healthy
point.
Existence.
On that point. I mean, one of the great things about radio and podcasts is, TV just gives it you, doesn't it? You've got the sound, you've got the pictures. With radio, you've got to imagine, you know, you hear it, and everyone has their own, unique picture. So just see what springs to mind, if you will, and the killing spree that's going on here. Okay, you ready for this?
That's somebody being beaten to death with a tea tray, is it?
That's either one person really getting it, or just a field of people being decimated. which means, incidentally, before anyone writes in, I do know what the word decimated means. Thank you. It means they kill everybody.
Only 1 in 10.
1 in 10.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. So it really pees me off when people get pedantic about that.
Wow.
There we go.
I didn't know that.
That's what that UB40 song's about.
Is it?
Yeah, I am the 1 in 10.
Good.
I'm a member of a Roman legion that's just been killed.
There we are. Or
that's not what that song's about. It's about unemployment.
Anyway, on to our actual top story. Amazon. Yes, I know. It was like a false summit. Amazon lit our collective fires with the Kindle Fire. Now it's about to relight them. Can you take that?
Relight.
You promised
fire.
Them.
What? Actually, I spoke to Gary at the Sony Awards.
Because I need...
He's busy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with his Jubilee song.
All right, now he's about to relight them.
What's
with
his Jubilee song?
It's called Sing.
Oh, yeah, he goes all over the Commonwealth, doesn't he?
Yeah. Harry plays the tambourine.
Why not?
That's what I've heard.
Anyway, they're about to relight our fire with the Kindle Fire 2.
Plays the pink oboe, I hear.
Dear me. These reports, not on the pink oboe, but on the Kindle Fire 2, are from Reuters. Saying Amazon's hoping to launch a new 8.9-inch slate around the holiday season. I wonder why. Just in time for the pre-Christmas rush. Are we expect? I mean, it's kind of... you would expect...
Well, we might get this one.
Yeah. Hopefully.
That would be a start.
Well, are we going to? Are they going to kind of release this and then we'll get the original or something daft like that?
Well, they might just be nice and do both.
Well, possibly if they follow the same path as with the Kindle book thing, you couldn't get that. Oh no, you couldn't get that over until like the third iteration. You had to import it, didn't you?
Yeah, and then there was quite a long time. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not. I don't, in a way, very exciting. In another way, completely unexciting.
We got terribly excited about the Kindle Fire. We devoted, you know.
Don't we have to get Prime, like the real Prime over here, before they'll do the Kindle? Because we don't have.
Yeah, Prime just means sort of cheap deliveries.
Yeah, that's what it means to us.
Yeah,
it's not quite the same.
Or the next day Prime's delivery. Great. We have to get that first before they can bring the Kindle over.
Yes. Actually, I just find Prime annoying now because everything I get is next day delivery. Brilliant. But you've got to be in to get it rather than like some bloke just dropping it in your garden.
You have to sign for it.
You've got to sign for the Prime.
Yeah.
Sign for the Prime. And I'm never in. So then I've got to go and collect Prime about a week later.
I think that's the big hurdle
that's
for the Kindle.
Subprime.
But, I mean, we've discussed that before. I mean, there are content partners here that they, you know, love film, all that kind of business, they could team up with. There are ways around this. Amazon, if you're listening,
yeah, why don't you care about us, Amazon?
Basically, why do you not care,
you Yankee pigs?
But is this really the only competition properly for the iPad?
Yes.
Yeah,
next. Well, there's Asus's range of tablets that have keyboards that plug into them, so they're not really tablets, and people seem to like them. But
we're just discounting Android. That's
for the time being. Because, well, all the sales figures seem to be saying nobody's buying them. I mean, if you put them all together, they still don't sell as many as the iPad. In fact, they don't sell anywhere near as many as the iPad. And I mean, I suppose the Kindle Fire is Android, isn't it? Which I always forget. It's like a heavily skinned version of Android. So I think that must make up the vast majority of those Android sales as well.
Essentially, I suppose it is Android somewhere underneath it all, isn't it?
And I'll tell you an interesting thing, actually, because I was saying about the what they're called? They're called Optimus as well, aren't they? What's the Asus tablets with the
Prime.
Keyboard docks?
Asus Transformer Prime.
Yeah, Transformer Prime.
Optimus Prime, Transformer. Where are we going?
No, they got involved in a lawsuit with Mattel, is it? Obviously all the Transformers. And they actually won that lawsuit somehow. Like the judge said, oh no, Transformer Prime, how can anybody say that's got anything to do with the Transformers, whose leader is called Optimus
Prime? But Transformer is a word.
Prime.
Surely you can't copyright the word Transformer.
No, I think Transformer
its own, I could understand.
Yeah, I think when the first one came out and it was called the Transformer, probably Mattel were like, but then they brought up the next one. It's like Transformer Prime. It's like, what's the next one as well? We're like
the Optimus,
Megatron. I believe that's a Transformer.
It is a Transformer. It's a bad one though. So
aren't they all the bad ones?
Megatron.
No, they're called the Defobots, I believe. Yeah.
Something bots.
Isn't that right?
My favorite
Destructicons.
Is the B one.
Destructicons. Is that it?
What's the B one?
It is Destructicons.
Yeah.
Something
called right. Like the Buzzbee.
Anyway, we're getting off the topic.
How have we done this?
I hate to get off the topic on this. Yes. As a result of that lawsuit, it was just mentioned in passing how many of these things Asus has sold. And it was a pathetic.
Really?
It was like a couple of thousand, like worldwide.
Ouch.
So
all right, let's
that's widely considered to be the best alternative to the iPad.
So yes, the Kindle is the only competitor.
Okay, so the Kindle is the only competitor and we haven't got it, which means really the iPad is the only thing. What they're saying, previously with reports on the Kindle is that we're expecting two sizes, a 7-inch and a 9-inch. So I suppose this 8.
The first one was 7, wasn't it?
It was quite small. The first one is quite small, so this would make sense, you know, a new one which is 8.9 inches, that would fit into that. But the backdrop to all this is rumours out this week as well of, and it's kind of, this is one of those perennial ones, but anyway, it's the rumour mill has spun again, Apple gearing up to launch a miniature version of the new iPad.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
I just can't see why it would do that.
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why? Yeah. We've always said it's the same reason as the iPhone. Why would they bring out a smaller one? There's no point of bringing out the smaller one. They've got the optimum screen size.
Is it? Is that it?
I think that's what they've... Yeah. That's what their mentality is. They've gone, right, this is the right size. Mm-hmm. We're going to stick with it.
But what about a cheaper iPad? If they are going to compete with the Kindle Fire. Why the Kindle Fire is starting to steal customers.
I don't think they'd need a cheaper one because people are buying it at this price. And then the old iteration of the iPads are cheaper, so people are then buying them.
That's almost how they've done it.
That
this
seems
time
to be
around,
their strategy.
Yeah, keep selling the old one.
Quote-unquote cheap things. They're still quite expensive. Yeah, I mean, a smaller one, it's just... Yeah, no, I agree. Like, why would you do that? Except Apple does have all the money in the world.
There you go.
So maybe they that's the only reason I can think of is they might think, yeah, what the hell, we'll try this. It doesn't really seem to fit with our general way of doing business. But I've just found this massive pile of golden cash down the back of the sofa, and I don't know what to do with this. Just clogging up my office.
Well, the rumours...
So we'll just spend it on the R&D for this.
There we go. The rumours what they're worth is it's going to be a 7.85-inch Retina display. Who knows? Could be.
Can't swallow.
I think that's even less likely than a bigger iPhone.
Would you buy one? I guess that's the acid test. Would you, if someone said, here's a cheaper 7.85-inch Retina iPad?
Nah.
No.
Right, well, I think we can put that to bed.
Nah.
Done.
Not by one.
Apple will be listening to this at the moment going, oh my God, Duncan's come out against
Scrap it.
Oh, God. Back to the drawing board, lads.
We've got the supersize iPad. 15 inches.
Yeah, made of platinum.
Right, plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Sony's shares have slumped to their lowest value in nearly 32 years on news of an annual loss of $1.8 billion. Competition from Samsung and LG has seen it overtaken in the TV market, while the Galaxy S3 and iPhone 4S are cleaning up in the smartphone race. Investors are said to be worried, and even a merger of Panasonic and Sony's TV arms is being touted.
Ooh, speaking of the S3, those that pre-ordered are going to be able to get their hands on the phone early. The Samsung brand store in London's Westfield will be cracking open its delivery from 6 p.m. on the 29th of May, a whole night before they're on sale to the general public. Other stores around the country will be able to break the seals of pre-order phones from 7 p.m.
I just said beer here rather than bee. That's intriguing. The next flavour of Android could launch on not one, but five brand new handsets. After seeing Ice Cream Sandwich take an age to spread beyond the Nexus S, Wall Street Journal is reporting that Google will offer Jelly Bean to up to five manufacturers from day one. Result.
Speculation is rife that Apple plans to cast aside Google Maps with its own mapping solution when it launches iOS 6 next month.
Brave.
Reports suggest Apple has almost completed work on its in-house offering, which will offer an incredible 3D mode and a built-in replacement for Street View.
When anyone strings the words incredible and 3D together, I get suspicious. Finding your favourite Facebook integrated apps is going to be much easier on the social network thanks to a new app centre. Facebook's introducing a personalised chart for each user featuring the top apps most suited to them. Spotify, Pinterest, Flickster and more are all on board with dedicated app detail pages.
And finally, Steve Jobs wanted to design an iCar. Apple board member Mickey Drexler has told a conference in the US that it was Steve's dream before he died. I think it would have been probably 50% of the market, he said, calling the car industry in America a tragedy.
Well, American cars are a bit rubbish, but Americans seem to like them.
So yeah, they do. They love them. Americans love their cars.
I can only imagine that kind of an Apple car would be some kind of like Prius,
it's hard to picture,
sort of,
isn't it?
Sort of thing,
yeah.
Which I imagine would sell very well in certain parts of California.
I imagine it would look a bit like a Tron light bike.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see
only
an
in
iCar.
Kind of magnesium.
Is
he seriously suggesting 50% of cars sold in America would be made by Apple?
Does he not realise how much it takes to make a car?
Yeah, quite. All I can envisage is the Homer Simpson car. You know. When they just gave Homer, GM gave Homer Simpson the free reign to build the car he wanted. And
I'm actually picturing the one from that episode of South Park, the eco car from South Park. But unfortunately, I can't describe what that looks like because you'll have to go away and look it up.
Good.
Actually, the other thing is, the reason that American car market perhaps is a bit tragic is because American cars are made in America, whereas obviously any Apple car would be made in China.
True.
And
although Chinese cars not so hot,
not as far as I know.
Japanese cars
very good.
Chinese cars I don't know of any.
That's the thing. I couldn't even give you an opinion on Chinese cars because I don't know what they are.
Your thoughts on Chinese cars to at
do let us know.
So anyway, time to see what you have been tweeting to at @T3DOTCOM and posting on the official T3 podcast Facebook group.
Yep.
Dunk.
We start with sad news.
Oh, yes.
From Michael Part. Am I supposed to be doing this like Simon Bates' R tune?
Yeah.
I think so.
He was at the Sony Radio Awards.
Who?
Simon Bates.
Yes, he was. He's so old and jowly.
sad news.
I'm ballsing this up, yes. Our story is about a young man, let's call him Michael Part, because that's his name. He writes, "Dear Ree, Dan, Duncan, and the wider Tea Free community, it is with great disappointment I am writing to tell you that I have failed to make the GB archery team for this summer's Olympic Games. It was a close fought battle." Unfortunately, that's not how you spell fort, Michael. "But even with the gadgets,
it's
gizmos,
not a spelling bee, okay?
apps, and entertainment you offered me, I was only able to get fourth place.
Denied!
Out of the team of free men. So I will be spending the summer as Olympic reserve and hoping none of my teammates fall down the stairs."
Yay. Hoping.
"I truly thank the T-Free podcast for all the support." Sorry, I'll put my sad voice back on. "I truly thank the T-Free podcast for all the support and entertainment you have given me. In fact, it has inspired me to start my own podcast."
What?
TheBowPod.com. "Don't worry, it's not a tech podcast. Not a tech podcast. Believe it or not, it's an archery podcast."
There's always a silver lining.
"The first episode is in the can and will be on iTunes soon. And the website," I'm afraid that's not how you spell site, Michael.
"Duncan!
Should be up this week. So again, thank you, T-Free, and long live the podcast."
Hurrah!
Well done, Michael. Fourth.
Well, fourth is... not bad.
Yeah, and you know, one of those three could three have places. An unfortunate accident.
People
could
can
pull
very
a
easily,
you know, those arrows flying around all over
exactly.
the place.
People get killed during archery tournaments all the time.
Who knows what might happen?
Just ask Robin Hood.
Exactly. Yes. someone did. There was lots of nice messages replied to Michael there. Someone in that kind of, you know, standard response sort of said, "Never mind. There's always next year."
I thought that was
Think about the Olympics.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, never mind.
But you can have quite a long career in archery. It's
I
not
imagine
like,
so.
It's like darts.
First division
it's
football.
Like darts.
Yeah.
Just like darts, innit?
Just with bigger darts.
Like big
innit?
Darts, innit? Innit, archery?
It's like big darts propelled by a kind of device.
Michael, perhaps you could use that as your insight on one of your podcasts. Yes. How archery is basically big darts. There you go.
It's not all doom and gloom.
No.
Some good news.
More from Michael.
This from Michael. "I managed to get myself a job as a sport-specific advisor, working for the official Olympic News Service, so at least I'll be there taking part, if not in quite the way I had imagined. I also done what seems to now be the default pick-me-up. I've got myself a new iPad, and T3 looks great on it."
Hey! So, right, hold on. So he's the specific sports advisor.
No, a sports-specific advisor. Oh, so he's an advisor on archery.
Yeah. I see. For the official Olympic News Service.
Yeah.
Okay.
So journalists all around the world will be like, hey, Michael, what is archery?
What are these big darts?
And yeah, then Michael
from around
be like,
the world.
Well, it's basically like big darts.
Yeah. So you're right, mate. It's like big darts, isn't it? And
yeah, that's what you should say. Please, if you ever get asked and you're live on TV, Mike, please yeah, say
slip that in.
It's just like big darts.
It's just big darts. Just
when
big
you're on, darts. ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy's a wise guy.
He's a wise guy. Or just say, "I've been reading the T3 sports issue."
Yeah.
Drop that in.
Swimsuit issue, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should. Why do we do that? Carry on.
We do it every month.
Leon
only
Fenner.
On the cover,
yeah. Leon Fenner says, "This is not related.
No.
Just seen the comparison of S Voice and Siri. I guess they're both crap.
Oh.
I only realised it was Duncan asking the questions at the end. Thought it was a computerised voice."
Duncan, your voice is
strangely artificial.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Is it record? Do we record in quite low bitrate or something? Do I sound computerised on the video?
Maybe you put that gadget of the week you had on you.
That was just annoying. It made me sound computerised.
Oh, and then Daniel Evers agrees. "I saw the T3 video too. They both look like crap at the moment. Apple argues that it's still in beta.
Come off that fence, Daniel.
But if that is the case, then why use it as a selling point of the iPhone 4S? You can't make a big song and dance about it. Then when it doesn't work, claim it was only a beta anyhow."
Yeah, it's not all the advertising about Siri, and I don't know anyone who gives it damn.
No, but the worst thing about it is that it's like, I can only look for businesses in the States. And you're like, well, great.
Right, brilliant.
Great, that's great.
Thanks for your help.
That. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Siri.
Ryan O'Neill, how come it's only ever the people who whine about the pod that get mentioned on it? I'm sure the majority of us simply enjoy the sweet oral nectar that is T3 Pod each week. And we'd happily marry any combination of the contributors. Where's our parade?
Hold Here on. It is.
Any combination. So what, did you sort of get me and Dunk or Duncan Ree? Or, wait,
I mean, he's a
Mormon. It's like Shag, Marry, Avoid.
Shag, Marry,
Avoid. Oh no, I've started something.
This week, a special Shag, Marry, Avoid with the T3 podcast host.
It's good that he enjoys sweet oral nectar.
Yes. Very glad about that. A-U-R-A. I'm just, A-U. Not.
He's just another one who can't spell.
No parade, but we did read you out. Jack Malcolmson, right, he says, as I get closer and closer to my mobile upgrade, in capital letters, I'm having doubts over what to choose.
Big event, mobile upgrade.
It is. 4S, 1X, what do you all think?
Or S,
yes, he has given that option. Simon White, 1X straight in. Dean Garnham, 1X. Move away from the evil of Apple, he says. Callum Newton, ever the diplomat. iPhone for the infrastructure, apps, etc. 1X for customization and freedom, except he spelled customization. Is that a kind of
a new play thing.
On words, like ROM? You can customize your ROM. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's just a typo.
Oh, okay. If it's not a typo, it's quite clever.
It's like when you,
customization, I don't know.
It's like when you spell owned with a P.
Possibly. Some suggestions of the S3. Jack
don't
says,
pronounce it.
Jack says he has a hatred for Samsung.
Oh.
How can you hate Samsung? I mean,
that annoying noise.
You know, they're all right, but So the S3 is out. Katie Heath, wait for the iPhone 5. Daniel Evans throws in the wild card, a Nokia Lumia. There's always someone, isn't there?
Daniel really likes a Nokia. He's fought the battle for Nokia before.
Yeah, the Lumia 900 has been outselling the 1X in the States.
It's out now over here.
Although apparently but in the States where it's been on sale for a while. But what they're saying is that the Lumia has peaked now and is on the way down, and the 1X is still rising. So the 1X will probably outsell it in the long run.
I prefer the 800 though. And I think both of those phones are like just too slab-like.
Jordan Robinson, that card says 3310.
Oh, funny.
Little mobile phone in joke there.
Yeah.
I would say the 1S.
That was the fat replacement for the 3210. The 3210, really sleek, elegant phone. Really kind of broke the mold when it came out. Then the 3310 was this fat, podgy thing. What's that? You've just shat on my doorstep with
That's
that.
That's nice.
Don't poo on my doorstep. I do get a bit freaked out when people say, oh, I hate Apple or I hate Samsung. It's like, God, what do you make of, I don't know, the Nazis?
So anyway.
How can you hate somebody who makes
I was going through the same quandary as Jack this week.
Oh, yeah, you've got an upgrade.
You were saying about getting a new phone.
Ooh, he's got the 1X.
I went for it. Having completely slagged off huge screen phones.
In your enormous and manly hands, it actually doesn't look so big.
No.
Well, now I'm used to it. I'm like, I've had it a week now. Mm. I'm like, the first day I had it, I have to say, I was getting cramp. It was, my hand was like, oh, I can't hold it and type or anything.
Play darts. Because
I certainly couldn't play big darts.
You've got rigor mortis of the thumb and fingers.
Now, I'm like, how have I ever lived without a screen this size? Web browsing, beautiful. I can see my full calendar very easily. It's great. I do like it. Everything I've ever said about this screen size being ridiculous, I take it all back. I'm a fool. I really love it.
I think, to be fair, that is the one that wears it best, actually.
Yeah.
It sort of looks...
I have to say,
less enormous than it is.
Although, the only problem is, with my last phone, which was the Desire S, I wasn't that bothered about it. It got knocked. It was all cracked. By the end, the screen was a bit knackered in one corner. This, I'm quite, I don't want to damage this. So
it does look very...
I bought a case,
but look.
I didn't even know they made it.
Right, so nice and sleek and everything, and then you put this weird condom on. Look at it now. Just look at this. Ugly. What is that?
It doesn't look that bad. It's see-through.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So you've become a complete
loser, basically.
Yeah, I've got a crap case on it. I've got this thing over the front.
Why didn't you get a nice case?
Well, I couldn't find any nice ones. If someone knows a nice case for the 1X, let me know. But I can heartily recommend it, having dissed it continuously.
Just get a velvet bag for it or something.
Oh, yeah.
A sock. I used to carry my iPod around in a sock before they made cases.
Yeah. But I'm not alone here. Imtiaz Farouk, I've sold my soul to big touchscreen phones, HTC One X all the way. The devil was just too tempting to turn down in the end. I had exactly the same experience. I was in the shop. I was going to get the S. Then they offered me the X at exactly the same price. What could I do?
Yeah, that's what we were saying the other week, that basically HTC have almost... They've gone out of their way to not sell any S's.
Yes, it would seem so.
I quite like the S.
Yeah, I do as well. That was my if it had more favorite. Than 16 gigs, I would be like, this. Yes. I like this phone.
Tempting. Gareth Sullivan has one. Lee, not Leah, Freeman has one.
Lee, not Leah.
It's the way forward. The One X, there we go.
So that's so on that straw poll, I think it's fair to say the One X is outselling the Lumia 900.
There we
UK.
Go. Yes, that's probably fair to say. I've been I'm working up in Salford at the moment.
I did hear that.
I've mentioned it a few times. Salford is it's a lovely place. Like Salford Keys is, you know, by the waters.
Have you got a bodyguard?
Well, you know, Salford is has its parts that are you know, not quite so nice. And the shopping centre.
So do you have a bodyguard?
The shopping centre is a bit rough. Okay. Anyone who lives in Salford will just admit to that, won't they? I think basically it's surrounded by tower blocks. There's nothing wrong with that, but the actual shopping centre itself looks like it's just been lifted out of the Soviet bloc and plonked in Greater Manchester. It is pretty ugly.
I went to Salford about 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it was a hellhole.
Yes, well,
I don't live there, so I don't have to beat around the bush.
So I went to the Vodafone store, and on all the tills it has got bad credit. Ask us about a contract phone. We can still help you out and all this kind of thing. So when I went in and asked for an 18-month contract, £41 a month, with the One X, the man was he was falling over
himself.
He was thanking me for coming to the shop because I'd got the offer off the internet and went, I don't really want to get it off the internet. Can I get it from you? He was delirious.
So you're like a sort of Victorian mill owner.
That's basically what you do. Don't go to Oxford Street. None of that. You want to go to nip to Vodafone in Salford. Salford
get
shopping.
Get a better deal, though.
Salford shopping city.
Or do you just get that feeling that you've
No, it
done
was a better
well.
Deal, because I went to the one in Leeds and they were giving me a rubbish deal. Salford. Yeah, basically. There you man.
Go somewhere poor and flash your cash around whilst patronising the locals. Yeah.
Basically,
that's a great idea.
That's how it works. So thank you, Gareth, in Salford
was
shopping
he, like,
city
tugging
Vodafone.
His forelock. Oh, thank you for coming in, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Would you like to walk over my coat? There seems to be a puddle outside the door there, sir.
And as I walked out, I tripled the rents everywhere and turfed.
Rubbing your hands.
Turfed everyone out. Whilst chatting merrily on my new One X.
Hello, peasant. I'd like to purchase a new mobile phone, please. I should be buying quite an expensive contract.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Is that how they talk in Salford?
Not especially. No, more the West Country, but there we are. Right, what do we got for our Gadgety of the Weeky?
And I'm handing you over to Dunk.
Well, becoming sort of home gadget of the week, this. Yeah. But and indeed...
Gadgets have been few and far between, to be honest.
Since you've got your new home...
I'm also the home section editor of the magazine.
I see.
And it's also almost vacuum cleaner of the week, because it's the second vacuum cleaner in 3 weeks. But I'll keep this brief. It's made by Hoover. It's an actual Hoover.
We can call it a Hoover.
We can, yeah. Good. It's not like a Walkman made by Hoover. And it's called the Robo.com Squared, which I think is the worst name for a gadget ever, pretty
that's
much.
Pretty
that's
bad,
pretty bad.
Isn't it?
That's really desperate.
Yeah.
I thought Hoover went bust.
No.
Oh.
Don't say things like that. We'll get sued.
They had a bit of a rocky time.
And then when they gave away like free flights. Flights.
That was about 20 years ago.
All right.
You're on a bit of a time lag there. Like. Yeah, no,
I've got the wrong script.
I would say it hasn't so far locked me out of my house.
Good.
So it's good in that respect.
So it's not evil like the last one.
No. But it's also, it doesn't really suck up dirt like the last one.
Oh.
But it's like, down point, up point. It doesn't seem to be as good at cleaning. Doesn't seem to be as good at negotiating sort of humps and
so
things.
In terms of the actual thing it's meant to do?
It's not great, but it's very, very quiet.
Okay, great.
So
it's an obtrusive.
I could invent a really quiet Hoover that wasn't very good at Hoovering.
No, but that's the thing. And also it makes me really worried, because after the incident with the last one, at least I could hear that coming, because that is a noisy beast. It's a tank of a thing.
This one's a silent
whereas
killer.
Whereas this one is like... Yeah. So you'd be, I don't know.
Must kill Duncan.
If you put a cup of tea on the floor, would it knock it over?
Yes, without doubt. It does. It does, because there's barely any humps in my flat. But they have those little things over the. No joke there. They have those little things over the door. What are they called?
The metal things.
The metal strips.
Well, yeah. They can barely get over that.
Oh dear.
And then...
must be like a mountain to
is
that
it, is, how big is it? Because it's important. How big is it?
It's exactly the same size as the other one and looks like the other one in every regard.
I see.
Basically, no thought has been put
how
into
the design.
How much
is that? Is that the size of a dinner plate?
Yeah, about the size of a very fat dinner plate.
Did you hear the REBA, the Royal Institute of British Architects, this week? They said that they've done a survey of modern houses. And you know, they're rubbish new houses, aren't they? There's no storage anywhere. So they found people keeping their Hoover at their parents 10 minute drive away and their groceries in their car boot, which is brilliant.
What?
So there's no storage space in the house, so I have to keep stuff in the car boot.
And can you imagine?
Whenever they wanted to Hoover, they had to drive to their parents.
Can you imagine if you went, I'll have a cuppa. Oh shit, he's taking the car.
Where are the tea bags? They're in the glove compartment. Where do you think they are?
My flat's new. I've got loads of storage. I've got a spare room.
Well, you know, we can't all live in
If you've got a family, then you wouldn't have a spare room, would you? You just have your little cupboard.
If you will go around being heterosexual, you will pay the price, I'm afraid. That's, you know.
Yeah. Popping out kids all over the place. I'd just keep them in the car. Have my groceries in the house.
So the Hoover, it's a quiet thing. It's well done in that case, but it needs to be more, to be honest, to be fair, it needs to be more tank-like and brutal.
I see. Right. Mm. Okay. Thanks, Dunk. Now, Euro 2012 is almost upon us. Well, it's not almost upon us, we're about a month away, but we've had the England squad named, haven't we?
I couldn't think of anything better to do.
That happened this week.
Yeah. We've got the Champions League final tomorrow.
We have, yeah. Good luck, Chelsea, should I say that?
Were they playing Bayern Munich?
I think I prefer Bayern Chelsea Munich. To Bayern Munich. Yeah, definitely. what would a national occasion be without some apps to shamelessly trade off the event? Ree, what have you got there?
I have got Live Score Addicts.
Ah, quite
which
important.
Which is an iOS that is free. So this basically...
A lot of these are free, actually.
Are they?
Yeah.
See, football players, they spend... Football players, football fans, they just have pies. So it's fine, they haven't got any money. It covers over 300 leagues and has been tracking Euro 2012 action since the qualification. So that's been going on for a while. And so you get video highlights during and after the match.
That's
and
pretty good.
And you also get live tables, starting lineups and match statistics.
I do like live tables, you know, where they kind of jump around as goals go in and things like that. That was all very good on the last day of the season.
That was very good at the last day of the season, although it ended badly. There's also a push notification service. We'll let you know as soon as matches kick off and when the goals pour in. So nothing
I like
for
that
England.
Because we're going to be at work for some of these, and you know it'd be nice to have.
It's going
like,
nice
to be
it's gonna be like radio silence.
Okay,
England,
so what's that one called?
It's called Live Score Addicts.
Okay, fine. Dunk.
Well, I've chosen. actually, it's also the cricket season. I do recommend Crick Info, ESPN Crick Info.
Oh, yeah, can't really go wrong with that.
That is very good. Mm-hmm. But this one's great. 442 Football Stats Zone. How can I describe this? It shows in graphical form and also presumably in numerical form any number of football-related statistics. It's kind of like American football.
Yeah.
You know, yardage, assists.
It's the sort of thing that Sky tend to do.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and it doesn't make terribly much
sense.
You
see, on the smaller screen, I mean, this is basically, I think, this is like on the screenshot we've got here, it's like an analysis of passes made, I think, and it basically looks like somebody's drawn a football pitch and then given it to a two-year-old with a pencil.
What's quite nice about this
is just scrawled all over it.
You can get player tracking, so you can see how much a player has moved during the match, how much possession they've had, where they've been on the pitch and all this kind of thing.
Mm.
So you can see if, you know, someone's been having a really active game, they've been all over the place, loads of possession, or if they've just like barely touched the ball.
Just get the goalkeeper.
Like the goalkeeper.
Quite
hasn't moved.
In sort of quite stark graphical form.
But, if I was a professional footballer, I would try and mess with that. And during the course of the game, I would basically just try and run in a spiral from the middle.
Write something out. Yeah.
Perhaps,
like write a message. Hi, mum.
Do a kind of bus stop willy.
Strange penis shape. Like, where's he going with this ball? He's like, he's heading on a pitch. Heading towards the goal. Going backwards. Going back to his own goal now. Over the wing.
Running out to the corner flag.
What is he doing?
Then at the halftime analysis, Gary Neville will be like, he's drawn a cock.
He's got hair on there and everything.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it's very detailed, Harry. Well, the lad's done great, hasn't he? He's done great.
How many inches would you call that? You know? Yes, yes. Excellent, excellent. Okay, good. Well, I'm sure that's what that's for. Right, more importantly, though, match pint. The reason I've chosen this, right, this is match
pint. I've got this.
Have you?
It's good. It's really good.
So basically, you need to find out where to watch the football, don't you? So it tells you where it's on, you know, what games are on, how many screens are available, all that. Because there's nothing worse than going into a pub and it's like a tiny little, 12-inch pie.
Everyone
in the
crowded
corner.
Around the 1970s
exactly,
black and white.
You know. With like phasing in and out the picture and everything.
And you're in an absolutely massive pub with 700 people.
So, yeah, how many screens? Whether the sound will be turned up, because that's another thing. You go in and they've not got the commentary on because people want to natter. No, people want to watch the football.
Oh, I don't know. I get
And even the food's up to scratch. You know, you want some nibbles while you're there. So, great app. But the reason I've chosen this is for the United City game. Which ended up, as it turned out, being pretty much the decider for the season. I was in a pub. I didn't go to my usual pub because it is a pub that has a tiny screen in one corner. It probably wouldn't have even been showing the football. So I went to the pub I've never been in, but I've always walked past, which turns out to be an Irish pub. But I don't mean like Irish-themed pub. I mean everyone in there was Irish. And they'd run out of Guinness. And it was not a pleasant place to be. Everyone kept coming in and going, pint of Guinness. And the guy would have to explain it was his fault, that he hadn't ordered enough, blah, blah, blah. In the end, he was telling people to go to the off-license down the road and bring their own cans in. He was like, you know, no charge, you can bring... It was getting violent.
Were they doing that? Did they do that?
Yeah, people were going on the road, getting cans of Guinness and coming back to the pub. Brilliant.
That doesn't seem like great business.
No.
I mean,
it was that or have
corkage?
Not really making any money at all, is he?
It was that or have a full-on revolt on his hands. It was getting...
I'm sure there was an Irish pub, another one around the corner. It's loads.
I guess that must have been it. He just didn't want everybody to leave the pub. Basically. To the point where he'd actually rather they weren't spending any money.
Well, I think they were all regulars as well, you know, so keep them sweet. You know. Anyway, that's about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on your tablet. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.